Amen to that. Brothers and sisters, if I look at our life journey here in our community, in our church, and where we've come from, and where we are, and where we're going, it's an interesting thing to sit and meditate on. Of all that's going on and where we've been. And since we're 1 week away now from the beginning of the 2022 school year, I felt that this might be a good time to bring some of those things together and give a little bit of a prep talk or a pep talk or whatever you want to call it to the parents to realize that it takes a generation to bring change. It doesn't happen overnight. Changes happen generationally. And often it's very hard to reverse a trend, or by the time we come to grips with certain things, it's already that we've sown. There's not much we can do about it. And so we're beginning our 26th or 25th year at Fort Pitt Christian School next week. Where has time gone? Unbelievable. 26 years. So many changes. So much has happened. So much has come and gone. So many students here have gone through. Some parents have their own children in school already. Kind of gives you a picture. That's how a society is built. That's how a culture is established that will fear the Lord and will seek the ways of God. You can't magically wave a magic stick and say, come to Jesus, and you're going to have a new generation ready to serve the Lord. It's not possible. It's not even bringing people to Christ, reaching the lost through evangelism. That takes decades of hard work to establish a solid footing in those people's lives. And so we understand that is a tremendous call on our lives. And putting that together with our journey here, I was thinking this week, you know, we went from old covenant to no covenant to new covenant. In this journey, it hasn't been without its consequences. My words, it hasn't. We've had our share of trials and tests, and we've had consequences of that transition. But as human beings, nothing goes by smoothly. It's just the nature of it. I don't blame anybody. I know, and I look at myself, there are lots of things I could do differently and would do differently if we would get a rerun. But that's okay. That's good. So now I look at this picture, and when I started 26 years ago, I had a one-year-old child. One-year-old, my oldest son. One-year-old. How time has gone. Now I have five adults in my home. And by the grace of God, by His wonderful mercy, they've turned out better than I deserve. God is good. And God, I already see God using their lives. And it brings an impact, it brings a sense of reality to our lives that our work is generationally. It's not just today, tomorrow. It is long-standing things that happen, and they have long-term consequences. I've made my mistakes. I've made many mistakes as a parent, and I see many parents making mistakes today, looking at others. And so I've titled the message, Bring Your Children Up in the Fear of the Lord. as far as for a school prep talk. Bring parents, bring your children up in the fear of the Lord. Parenting is hard. It's hard. We need to be so many things to them. But to rise up to that calling is both a wonderful privilege and the greatest responsibility that we parents have. There is no greater mission field than the ones God has given us right under our own roof. And my encouragement, my challenge to the parents is that we recognize how much of an impact we're making on their future just by who we are, not just by what we do, by who we are as God's people. So I want to take you today to a couple of verses, a couple of passages in Deuteronomy. It's Old Covenant. It goes well together with what Brother Dave had in his opening. And it's Deuteronomy, we'll go at 11 first, verse 18. And we'll see an incredible promise, an incredible power of God's word it has to make a difference in this world and in our lives. And so it begins, verse 18 of Deuteronomy 11. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt write them on the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, and that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your father to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. Brothers and sisters, what did God say here? He was telling them that you will have heaven on earth. When? When you first of all lay up the words in your heart. Number one responsibility. I want to take you to another verse here. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, similar words. And he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons, specifically the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, the God of Horeb, thy God at Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And he can goes on, and there's chapter 8 as well, and also some in chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 6. So there's in 6 or 7 chapters of Deuteronomy, God points the children of Israel to a generational concept, and that is parenting. Believe it or not, it's parenting. And he says, in both of the verses I read here, he starts them off by saying, therefore lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. That's in Deuteronomy 11. In Deuteronomy 4, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. What's the first thing we notice now in these passages? God says, take heed to thyself. Look inward. Look inside your heart. What's there? Your heart and your soul. In my words, in your heart and your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand. Brothers and sisters, if we personally do not live serious Christian lives, separated unto God and separated and consecrated, separated unto God and consecrated unto Him, whatever we teach our children will have very little effect. Whatever we try to train them in is not going to stick as it should. It will make very little impact on our lives. We can try by trying to win them with toys and games and outings and fun stuff and all that stuff. Not saying that's wrong. It has its place. But you will not make a generational impact if we ourselves as parents don't live consecrated lives unto God. And so it's absolutely important that this is the number one focus of our lives. And with all the distractions we have today, parents, we need to recognize to live a consecrated life unto God. We can't be too involved in politics and sports and the sports world, I mean, out there, and all that other stuff that only absorbs our mind and our thinking and makes us nuts and gets us away from the bigger picture. As men of God and moms and dads of God, we must know the way first, then we must go the way before we show the way. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have this wonderful promise. Train up a child. You know, a trainer in any field of profession is someone who knows his game. Whether it's an electrician, a sports trainer, a military trainer, or a doctor or a lawyer, whatever, whoever is a trainer. The first thing we notice about trainers, those guys have been there. They know the game plan. They know what it takes to get someone trained. And so it's our job as parents to be training us, maybe we have that word of God in ourselves and be trained in them so that we can successfully pass the torch to the next generation. And so I want to insert something here. One of the detriment, not the detriment, but one of the inherent weaknesses that go together. I'm not talking down our lives, our way of life. I love it. But one of the inherent weaknesses there to this part of, to this way of life is it's very easy to pass on the buck. Are you following me? It's very easy to pass on the buck of responsibility. We live in a secure environment. We never need to worry about if our children have a home, a house, a roof over their head, or clothing, or food, or protected from ungodly influence. And we have world-class education system. And that can bring a sense of complacency to parents that also has a generational effect. And we can just make it so super easy, it can be just so super easy to take things for granted in our way of life. And I want to challenge the parents, don't do that. We can take nothing for granted. The children of Israel took the blessings of God for granted in the land, and we know where it ended up. If I look at our school, it can help tremendously. The school can help tremendously shaping and equipping our children. But it's the first 10 years of a child's life where they are basically baked. After that, it takes tremendous effort it takes literally a military boot camp to change bad habits, bad behavior or patterns in our children's lives that have been sort of cultured into them. And so it's very important that we as parents understand that and realize that we play the biggest role in who our children ultimately become. We play the biggest role in what they become. Our children are shaped by us. They are a result of how we parent. They are a result of the time we invest in them and of the relationship we have with them. And it's one of the most alarming things to me is a lot of it happens before they, a lot of it has already happened before they even set foot in school. 6 years of age. Psychologists have said by the time they're 12, their life patterns are pretty much fixed. That's why a Catholic, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Jew, a Hutterite, a Mennonite, an Amish, a Mormon, a Jehovah Witness, whoever else you may have, they got them the first 12 years and they are on the path for life. Train up a child in the way he is go, and when he's old, shall not depart from it. You see it? They are cemented in their ways, and their ways could be completely corrupt. The religion they have could be completely upside down, as many world religions are. And yet, solidly, firmly, they're walking in it. And so it becomes incredibly important that we realize that we are the ones impacting them the most the first 10 years of their lives. Too often, we parents want to shift the blame. Pass the buck when there's bad behavior or bad results. They want to pass the buck too. Off to our culture maybe, or to the school, or to the leaders, or to someone else, or to other influences. But at the end of the day, we must look in the mirror and realize we have the power to influence the next generation in a remarkable way by just who we are. And so if you think about this, where do parents start? How do we do that? What do we do? The first way, the very first way we do that is, even Brother Dave mentioned it here, is to take your eyes off other people's kids. Parents, take your eyes off other people's children and look to your own. Come before God and ask the Lord to show, Lord, what can I do to influence my children? How can I make a bigger impact on them? You know, you'll always find in every circle of people, I don't care which circle of people we have, you will always find, you know, the rascal. You'll always find the bragger and the bully and the foolish ones, the nosy ones, the noisy ones, the town criers, and you'll always find the gossipers, the ones, the storytellers, the nuisance and the lazy ones. You know, you'll always find, you'll find what you look for, period. That's just the way it is. Why? Because we're dealing with human beings. They're fallen creatures. And often many times they've caught more from us than we would like them to catch. And sometimes a little more of that there than we'd like to admit. But the truth is there. And so take your eyes off others and look to your own household. He says here in our text that therefore you shall lay up the words of the heart in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and may they be upon frontlets between your eyes. And then you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them. So it's inside, then on to our next generation. And teach and train them. And the second one, as I'm becoming more and more convicted of this one here, is that we need to also take our eyes off our phones. I'm becoming more and more convinced that we need to take Wi-Fi out of the houses. I think they're robbing us parents of our families. They're robbing us of some of the most valuable, precious time we have. That one day we're going to look up and it's not going to be there anymore. Or at least do some kind of have a time during the day where it's completely off for 3 hours so we can focus on our children. And focus on that relationship so we can build them up in the fear of the Lord. So what are our priorities? What should we do? Keep our priorities straight. Every parent wants, I'm a parent like that too. We want our children to succeed. We want them to have good grades. We want them to be a star. We want them to get everything good and be up top. And that's natural. Every parent wants that. I want that for my children. But the danger we run into there, we tend to measure them by that. And that's wrong. God has given us ordinary children and intelligent children. He's given us gifted and less gifted. And it's wrong to measure a child by their highest grades or highest success. That's not the way to do it. The priority we need to get straight is character development is more important than their grades. Not that grades aren't important. Character development is far more important than grades. And while they're fallen creatures, we know that. We know our children are fallen creatures. We know they're sinners. They go astray from the womb. But we can still instill in their hearts values that are biblical and morals and principles that will help them throughout their life, and it'll help them also in their academics. And so we should understand that is what's important. Their character and then their grades. Because you ask any teacher, they'd rather, I mean, I was a teacher too, I've been a teacher too for many years. We'd rather have a below average or an average student that respects his teacher, tries hard and treats others with respect, than a brilliant kid with no respect. We'd rather have that. And so we parents need to take our eyes off others and look to our own households and see where can we improve? What can we change? What can we do to make our school, our church, and our families a better place to raise and inspire the next generation? So there's a bunch of things we can do. The first, by far the first and most important one, is our children need to learn to submit and to honor authority. That is the first thing a child should learn to do. And that happens by the time they're 4 years old. A child's concept of God is shaped by the parent, most often the dad. It's shaped because we represent God to them. We are God to them. They have no concept of God outside of ourselves. And so their concept of God is shaped by us. We represent authority in their lives. We represent this order, this structure, and this order that comes straight from the throne of God, this chain of command that makes a society flourish and makes a society go forwards. And so if we as parents don't establish that, if they don't honor us, if our homes are chaos, where there's always a war going on, parents even cursing their children, we are doing a tremendous disservice to God's kingdom. A tremendous disservice to the future generation. We cannot legislate authority, and we cannot force it with brute force, or my way is the highway. The authority we need to establish needs to be loving authority. that the child can know by the time they're 3 years old. There's no doubt in their mind their parents love them. But there's also no doubt in their mind there's a line. If I cross, I'm in trouble. And that authority needs to be established early on. And if we end up only fighting with our children, we lose. We have zero authority over them. If we tend to bribe and threaten them, we lose all respect. If we allow them to talk back to us, we're teaching them to disrespect other authority and God ultimately. If they don't learn to honor you as a dad and as a mom, they will not honor church authority nor any other authority. And what they will do will be just for show. And the way we gain authority and the way we gain influence over our children is not by force, but by living a consistent Christian life and honoring the authority that God puts us under, whatever that may be. Our children see us, they watch us, and they copy us. And it's therefore extremely important that God's order is maintained. And so parents, we have a huge responsibility when we're in the presence of our children, how we talk of authority, whether it's the government, the police, or church leaders, or our managers. They are listening. They are watching. The second most important concept, so the first one is our children need to learn to submit and honor authority. The second most important concept is relationship. A right relationship, a good relationship with our children to develop that. Ephesians 6:4, he says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest." That's Proverbs 29:17. "Yea, he shall give delight to thy soul." Such beautiful words. Where does that put us as family, as dads and moms? If we don't have a good relationship with our children, if we don't work on that relationship when they're young, we'll have great trouble getting it when they're older. I look back in my past and I made many mistakes there. I was more concerned with behavior early on in my parenting years than I was with relationship. Don't make that mistake. But the pendulum can swing the other direction, parents, where we're always just about relationship and love, 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 with no discipline, no behavior. You'll raise an insecure child. That child will also have a problem coping with society. Children are well-balanced, confident, and well-rounded when they have love and discipline coming from the parents at home. And boundaries, the third most important thing is boundaries and consequences. There are certain do-nots every parent needs to have in their home. They gotta be there. Establish a boundary, and when that boundary is breached, there needs to be a confrontation, whether some kind of consequence or a talking to or some kind of something that they know this is off limits. Withhold not correction from the child. It says here, if you beat him with a rod, he shall not die. Can't do that with a 12-year-old, but the Bible teaches us to correct. And the only way we correct is we first establish the boundary. Parents who have no boundaries but just fly off the rails whenever their children do something bad, their children don't know where the boundaries are. They haven't got a clue what a boundary is. We must clearly set out what you can touch, where they can go, what they can do. If those aren't established, the consequences we give are simply reactions of anger and frustration on our part, and they will not produce good results, at least the results we like. And those boundaries are maybe also their responsibilities, their behavior, their bedtime, their screen time, their work time, everything like that. These the character traits that matter to God, they need to be trained. They don't just happen. There's no possible way. More is caught than taught. In our setting here, many biblical values are actually cultured into our children. That's the beauty I love about community. That's one of the beautiful things, where serving is part of life. You serve the body, and it's not about the bigger paycheck that I get for myself. Everybody gets kind of the same, and in that way, it instills a culture of serving in them. That's a beautiful thing. We also model so many other things like modesty, faithfulness, dependability, hard work, and they learn it by doing, by consistently doing it. Those are some of them that will happen as we model it. But others need to be trained, and they need to be confronted with them. And for instance, respect. Somehow, we as parents have to stand, the parents need to put more emphasis on children having respect. Whether it's respect for property, whether it's respect for other people, or whether it's respect for authority or teachers. There is nothing, hardly anything as off-putting as a young person or a child that has no respect. It's repelling. And we need to zero in on it and train it out of them, train the disrespect out of them, and train respect. And one way to do that is by being respectful ourselves, you know. That's usually the best way to do it, is be respectful yourself. Another character trait is sticky fingers. Leaving stuff alone that's not theirs. It's a little bit of a issue there as well. Or in our setting, it's hard to tell what's what, what's not. And children way too easily just take everything belongs to me, and they can and we need to teach them and train them over and over not to snoop in other people's stuff, not to take other people's stuff, not to pick at locks or to break into something and give them severe consequences when they do. We can't leave those things up to the school. The school is a great place to continue the training we parents do, to continue those values, but it will not undo anything. It just helps the parents. As the saying goes, the Christian school is an extension of the home and a direct ministry of the church. Honesty is another big one. Parents, if our children can lie to our face with a straight face, we have a serious problem on our hands, and so does God. Our children should not be able to tell a lie to us without feeling really bad about it. They will lie. And we need to instill in them a fear for lying. Too often they just do it to get out of a quick, easy way out. We need to stop them in their tracks. We need to take that as if the devil himself had planted a seed in them, and teach them this is wrong. This is deadly wrong. And this leads to severe consequences down the road. So we do that as parents. We teach them, we try to teach them. And then they have a conscience when they're checking their own work at school. They get a conscience about being honest, and they try to do their best. Of course they fail, we know that. But as parents, we can do our part to instill in them the value of honesty. The another value is self-control. Teaching our children to hold back. You know, hold back. Not allow their emotions to get the best of them. Ah, we parents, we're good models of that, right? So often we smoke coming out of the ears. Self-control, yeah. We should hold back. They should not be able to get away with tantrums or regardless of what it's about. Learn to keep their emotions in check. Learn to hold back. And in many areas, including in eating. There's so much free stuff here. There's so much food. That shouldn't be just there. Just let her have it. They should hold back. I actually think that fat and children are two words that should never be in the same sentence. Children should not, because they're young and energetic, and they should burn off whatever they eat. Teach them self-control. Finally, release them to other authority. That is a beautiful one. Often the parents, we parents, have a hard time doing. See, and in our school here, at a great place where this starts. The school provides a wonderful place to start the process of releasing our children to tutors and governors. And even the Bible says that. The heir, as long as he's a child, in Ephesians 5, I think. No, Galatians 5. The heir, as long as he's a child, is under tutors and governors. The parent gives the child to a teacher, to a tutor, to someone who trains them in different things. There's tutors and coaches and mentors and teachers and bosses, etc. And of course, it should be to authorities that we can trust. But if we allow that to happen, it helps make up for the vacuums or the flat spots in our own parenting structures that we often fail. So it's very important that we learn to help make that transition too. As parents, as we train them to respect and honor other authority, because so much generational damage can happen if we don't. If our children don't respect other authority, 99% chance us as they're not honoring our own. And then we have men that are 35 years old, 40 years old already, and still have a major problem. Major problem with it. Those are some of the things that we can instill in them. Some of the values. Parenting is a big deal. It's too many times we don't take it serious enough. Like I said at the beginning, we don't take it serious enough. It is a big deal. It is a tremendous calling, a tremendous responsibility, and it brings back tremendous dividends. It pays back tremendous rewards when we see our children serving the Lord, when we see our children wanting to serve God, wanting something from their lives, wanting even more than we had and that we currently have, and challenging us about some of the things that we ourselves are doing. And when I see that, I see that the Lord has a hold of their heart already. And that's a good thing. They may still be immature. They may still have many things to learn. But to have that desire for God and for the things of God is a truly beautiful thing that I'm seeing more and more, especially my young people and in the other young people on the place. And that's what brings joy to my heart. And so we must continue this. We must take that torch further, parents. The school is not going to do it. We parents need to stand up and do it. So don't, I'm going to close with some do's and don'ts. Don't lie to your children. You might say, Why would I lie to my children? Oh, stop and think sometimes. Don't lie to your children. Don't curse your children. I'm not cursing my children. Well, sometimes when we're yelling, you know, you're useless, you can't do anything right. Well, we're cursing them. Don't talk down other people in their presence. Don't talk down any people. Don't make baseless threats. You know, if you don't do it, you're gonna be grounded for a year. They know you're not, you can't follow through. We just lose respect. Or I'm gonna beat the tar out of you. Or stuff like that. Don't say that stuff. Those threats are stupid. I mean, they're useless. They're meaningless because we're not gonna do that, okay? They're baseless threats. Don't bribe. Don't bribe your children. If we have to bribe them, that shows they're in control. We're the kid. They're the ones in charge. Don't bribe them into doing something or not doing something. And don't try to make them a Christian. They're not. Only Christ Jesus can make them Christian. We just try to instill some godly values into them. And one day Jesus will get a hold of their heart. A couple more do's. Do encourage and love them every day. Do ask them what they're doing and how they're doing. Do get them to talk to you. Get them, make them talk to you. Do have fun with them. It's good. Do pray with them and for them daily. Do keep yourself unspotted from the world. Walk before them with a godly example and with integrity. And to have this wonderful truth in us, like Genesis 18:19, where God says of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." How wonderful. I want God to say that of me. I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God bless you.